So very, very interesting title, no? Give 8, get 108. What is that? Hare Krishna. Are you sure that this will... Yes, it seems. Hare Krishna. Jaya Radha, Jaya Radha, Madhava, Gunya Viha, Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Varadhari Giri Varadhari Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Panasari Yamuna Tira Panasari Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari Jaya Radha Madhava Gunya Vihari Jaya Prabhupada 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 Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare
Jaya Gauranitai 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 Gaur Prema Nandi Hari Hari Bol. My dear devotees, please join me in the pranam mantras. One moment, I'm just Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Saminiti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Prajaline Nivishesha Sonyavari Paskatyare Satarine Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadada Shri Vasati Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I want to affectionately welcome you for this class, which has this title, Give 8, Get 108, The Secrets of Sharing Krishna Consciousness. The idea behind this little bit cryptic or enigmatic title comes from the Bhagavatam, where it is said human beings can make a huge benefit by giving their useless bodies, which are hardly worth anything, in the service of Krishna, because if they do so, they will obtain the Lord, who is the Lord of everything. And in the purport, it is said, they will get Krishna with his golden crown and his ornaments if they offer their material bodies in his devotional service, like doing service for him with the hands, speaking about him with the tongue and the mouth, and by also, what is it, thinking about him with their minds. So this idea of giving something to Krishna And being being given back multifold, that is from the Srimad Bhagavatam. My dear devotees, we are trained in our Western civilization to always get something for our own self. I think you remember the circle which Naveen Krishna Prabhu showed us yesterday. In hard and difficult times, strong people are born. So they live, and then the next generation comes, and they benefit from the hard work of these strong people, and they have good times. But good times give birth to what? Weak people. So we are now going down, and this brings again hard times. In order to stop, let us say, this terrible circle of frustration, there is something which we can all learn. We can learn to become givers and not a take. We have a slide for you here, which has a verse from one of these wisdom books. I could only trace it to the wisdom text. I got it from a book by Shubha Vilas. The verse says, Ye kich dukita loke sarvete svasukechaya. Ye kich sukita loke sarvete anya sukechaya. It means, anyone who focuses on his or her own happiness will always be unhappy. Those, on the other hand, who strive to make others happy end up being happy themselves. This, my dear devotees, is a fact of life. It is something that needs to be paid a lot of attention to. If you work only to become happy yourself, you know, earn money to buy a decent home with a nice couch and a TV set and a well-equipped kitchen and so on, that will not make you happy. Look into these apartments in London where this which is full of silent screams of frustration. No? The silent streams of frustration. Hare Krishna, you come in marching like an army. It is highly impressive. Thank you for giving happiness to our eyes by your marching style. So you can see silent frustration is there for those who wish to only make themselves happy. It is shown. So this text is a very nice text. Anyone who focuses on his or her own happiness will always be unhappy. Those who strive, on the other hand, to make others happy end up being happy themselves. So this is the secret of life. In giving there is getting, but in trying to get there is losing. This is a formula, no? When we talk today about yet another approach to the idea of commitment, we should keep this in mind. If we are not committing ourselves to sharing Krishna consciousness, but instead leave the threshing place of preaching, you know, it's a in is it called a threshing place? You know, when you bring grains to somewhere and you beat them and free them from the husks. That's what preachers do. They have a threshing place where they talk about Krishna and bring Krishna consciousness to the attention of people and free them from the husk of worldliness that is covering them. And in doing so, they are giving the highest welfare to people. So if you are running away from the threshing place of giving Krishna consciousness, because it's so hard, you will walk into the world, but rest assured, you will not find all your full laughter and your full happiness there. And also you will not find, you will not cry all your tears, the tears which the soul cries for Krishna. You will live a mediocre life. Yeah, so I wanted to talk you a little bit through one very nice Bhagavatam text where Kapila, where the Lord himself tells to one person who is highly accomplished in yoga and meditation to go out and share Krishna consciousness with others. And I think by thinking about this text, these texts a little bit, which you will hear, you might get inspiration for your own spiritual life. There was once a great saint called Kadama Muni. Kadama Muni went into the forest for meditation. But because he was so qualified, Brahma said, for some time you meditate and perform austerities, but after some time I request you to beget children. We need to populate the universe with good people, and you are one of the Prajapatis. By the way, as you are listening, please bring out your poetic pen, because Harsh has announced that he will be not the only poet today. Is that true? Yeah. Let's see if we can activate our group today. It depends. Just in case, you know, you can, you should not make us bereft of your poetry. Yes. So, Kadama was in the forest, and he went very deep in meditation. In fact, he was so advanced that after some time, Lord Vishnu appeared before him, riding on Garuda. Vishnu was so satisfied with the tremendous austerities and meditation of Kadama Muni that he cried a tear. A tear fell from the eyes of Lord Vishnu into this world and formed a lake in which you can take a bath today. It's the Bindu Sarova in Bhuvaneshwara. When Kadama Muni saw Lord Vishnu before him, he felt very elated, he felt ecstatic, but at the same time he felt embarrassed. His embarrassment is that of a young ashramite who leaves the ashram and enters grihastha ashram. He's neither a brahmachari nor a grihastha, and this is a difficult place. I think yesterday you used the word weird place to be in. So Kadama Muni felt also slightly embarrassed, because very soon he would be, welcome Maharaj, he would ask Lord Vishnu for something that he felt was not appropriate at that moment. He had just seen the form of the Lord, and he had said to the Lord, my dear Lord, seeing your transcendental form makes us free from all other desires. But now Kadama Muni would ask Lord Vishnu to get married, because remember, Brahma had told him. So he said, "My Lord, I know it's improper to ask you for material things, because I know that you do not wish to implicate your devotees in material life. But still, I will ask you to marry." And then he blushed. Can you sympathize with him? He had just said, seeing you, one loses all desires to live in this world, one is so satisfied, one tastes the rasa, but still I'm now going to ask you. Isn't that sometimes our situation, when we are there, and take our extracurriculum entertainment, we know it's not so good that I now do this or that. I will not even say what you all do as examples. Or is it sometimes when you are eating too much and you know, oh my God, I'm again degrading myself, but I can't help it. Kadama Muni also was in this situation. He said, I have been ordered by Lord Brahma to do this, and I also wish to get married, so please allow me. So Vishnu took all the embarrassment from his devotee. He said, don't worry. I know this. I know your desire in the heart, and I've already made all the arrangements. It's already made by me. Very soon, the best of emperors, Svayambhuva Manu, will come, and he will bring his beautiful daughter Devahuti along with herself, and you will marry her. So Kadama Muni, when he heard that the Lord had already made arrangements to fulfill his desires, felt the pangs of anxiety. He thought, if I obtain such a wife who is the daughter of the emperor, Svayambhuva Manu, who brings along with her so many qualifications, will I ever become detached at the end and pursue my path? Remember, he was an accomplished yogi to whom the Lord appeared. So Vishnu again understood his heart. Sometimes we human beings are complex beings. We have desires that sometimes seem to contradict each other. We want to go to the west, and at the same time we want to go to the east. There's a reason. If I have time, I will tell you why we humans are conflicted. So he said, no, there's no problem. You will not lead an ordinary worldly life by sacrificing the fruits of your work in my service. You will sanctify your grihastha ashram, no? By using what you have, a beautiful wife, untold opulences, and so on, in my service. You will sanctify the whole thing. It's yukta vairagya, what he said. And by following this instruction, which I give you, this, please use everything in my service, you will see that your heart will become purified and fully cleansed. And then one day you will for sure attain my association. I know that some of you, I know at least one devotee who is in this place, just entering Grihastha Ashram, and I know that this devotee is having questions how everything will work. And No, actually, a few of you are in this situation. Here you find a wonderful instruction of Lord Vishnu to Kardama Muni. Engage the results of your work in my service, and you will sanctify your ashram. In the end, you will come to me. So when Kardama Muni heard this, it was still a little abstract. He raised his brow, question mark, you know, how do I do this exactly? This seems to be a great task to sanctify my life by using, you know, what I got in your service. Can you please be a little bit more concrete? And then Vishnu gave an instruction which I feel is very much in tune with our theme here, to commit ourselves. He said, I want to read it directly to you. While you are in your household life, you should act compassionately to all living entities by giving them food, clothing, and wealth. Also, and this is perhaps very relevant for all of you, teach transcendental knowledge to your friends, to your family members, and your neighbors also. Thus you will attain self-realization. I remember perhaps funny or humorous episode. It was one of my godbrothers. He told it to me. He had just married, you know, and at that time in our move, we started out as a movement with mostly celibate men and women. Marriage was an unexplored adventure. That was at best, or a downfall at worst. You know, that was the somewhat immature understanding at this time. So one of my godbrothers said, so what's my duty now where I enter into Grihastha life? And he had in his mind, I mean, how do I meet my wife, you know, and how do we do this sadhu project, you know, having children and all this. They were it was a little nervous. I know one of you, before he entered Grihastha life, he was similarly very nervous. He called all his chums together and they went on a tour, you know, drinking lassi enjoying the freedom before, because they would now encounter the lioness of the female energy, you know. So there was a question, how do I do this, you know? And Prabhupada said, well, whenever you have cooked something, he gave such an unexpected answer, you go out of your door and you call, we have just cooked something, is anyone hungry? Come and eat at our home. My godbrother told me, he was, what does this have to do with my question? You know? So he wanted to make sure the Prabhupada, now I'm married and I have a wife, so what is my duty now? Prabhupada said, well, whenever you have cooked something. Prabhupada also was not sure if he had understood. You go out of your house, you say, is anyone hungry? We have food. And you feed them. My dear devotees, what is behind this? Behind this is our theme that by giving, by being compassionate, you can either be compassionate by giving food or by giving spiritual knowledge. That's when you really gain and you will become self-realized. Because some of you were not yet here, please read. We have made this slide of this text. Anyone who focuses on his or her own happiness will always be unhappy. Those, however, who strive to make others happy end up being happy themselves. This is a rule. The Lord has made the arrangement like this. So most of you are grihasthas or contemplating to enter the grihastha life. Please take this with you. The secret of life, it is in giving that you gain. He says, you will attain a self-realization. And later, you will travel widely from home to home, enlightening others. Teach others how to take shelter of me. Please listen. I know it's a spiritual text. It is sometimes not going in as easy as a quote, and so on from Richard Rohr or so. Teach others how to take shelter of me. Convince them that I will always protect them and thereby make them fearless. And then he says, very famous and cryptic thing, I will unpack it for you. By doing so, by preaching to others and assuring them, you will become fearless if you have the shelter of the Lord. By doing so, you will see yourself and all existence in me. And you will see me in you. What does this mean? Well, this is the process of, this is one Krishna conscious realization. You will see yourself and everything in existence in the Lord. This refers to Mahavishnu, who breathes everything into existence. No, so everything is part of him. It is belonging to him. It is in him. And you will then see also me and you. This refers to Sri Rudrakshay Vishnu, who is also known as Paramatma, who is in the heart of everyone. So you will see Krishna everywhere, embracing all of creation rests in Krishna, and you will also see Krishna in you, in the core of your heart. This is the result of giving Krishna consciousness to others. So Kadama Muni married. He had first nine daughters with his good wife Devahuti, and after the nine daughters were born, one day he approached his wife Devahuti and said, remember, the Lord had told me that I would in the end become detached from grihastha life and I would attain his association. So my time has come now. I will now follow the order of the Lord to travel widely and spread Krishna consciousness. But I will leave you. And Devahuti said, what? You will leave me? She had served him so faithfully. And Kadama Muni, but I have not had the benefit of your wisdom. We were just making a family. There was no time for me to ask you my spiritual questions, and you leave me now. Yes, said Kadama Muni, but I leave you also with blissful news. In your womb, there is an incarnation, an avatar of the Lord. His name is Kapila, exactly. Kapila Muni, Kapila, and he will enlighten you in spiritual knowledge. I am so happy with you. You have served so nicely, but we all have to follow the Lord's ways now, and I'm now moving on. But you will not be alone. You will have God as your son. What could have what better blessings could be there for a devoted wife, no? So then he, Kadama Muni, did this. He was, before he was a hermit who was in the forest thinking of his own advancement, thinking of how he would come to full God realization, and the Lord appeared before him. I think we have a slide for you. Yes, our Vinay will show you a slide. See, there is Kadama Muni in the corner. Can you see? Yes. The ladies on their screen. And there is the Lord who comes on Garuda and who tells him this. Please repeat after me. Kritva dayam cha jiveshu.
Kritva dayam cha jiveshu.
Datva cha bayam atmavan.
Datva cha bayam atmavan.
Mayatmanam satyaya. No. Mayam atmanam sahajagat.
Mayatmanam sahajagat.
Draksyas yat mani chapimam.
Draksyas yat mani chapimam.
You told him, showing compassion to all living entities, you will attain self-realization. Giving assurance of safety to all, you will perceive your own self as well as all the universes in me and myself in you. This is full self-realization. You will see Krishna outside and inside. That is self-realization. And that comes, my dear devotees, by this compassionate work of sharing Krishna consciousness with others. I liked very much Naveen's presentation, brief and to the point as always, where he felt we should not always separate sadhana and preaching service. They are in one package. They are very, very much connected. And I know that one of Prabhupada's god brothers said this about Prabhupada. I think his sadhana was his preaching. That is what he said with the highest of respect and adoration. Of course you need to practice your chanting and your reading and so on. You should not think this is what I do for myself. When you preach, this is also what you do for yourself. I'm always thinking, if there is anyone who has benefited the most from Sachinandan Swami's 50 plus years of preaching service, it's definitely Sachinandan Swami. Because I'm hearing myself repeating Bhagavatam and I'm thinking, wow, it must be true. And I'm seeing also that those who listen, some of them have benefit and take on a good and spiritually very fulfilled life and so on. So yes, it seems to be true, all these informations. So I want to just stay on one point here. What preaching is according to this text. It's not the only definition of preaching, but it is one very interesting perspective on preaching. The text says, I have to see, giving assurance of safety to all. That is, you know, Prabhupada writes about this. He says, to award fearlessness to the common man is the greatest act of charity. And there is a old saying, which we will see for you to have. It's slide 15. He who removes fear from your mind is the greatest friend. Preaching means to show another person Krishna is there. He's your best friend, and he's also your protector. He gives you safety. Prabhupada writes about this more. He says the devotee should show mercy to the fallen soul and also give them the assurance of fearlessness. As soon as one becomes a devotee of the Lord, he is convinced that he is protected by the Lord. Fear itself is afraid of the Lord. Therefore, what has he, the devotee, to do with fearfulness? My dear devotees, this is what gives the heart assurance and happiness. To understand I'm not alone in this world. There is Krishna. My dear Matajis, who are thinking always, I'm only complete when I have a husband. Krishna is there. Husband must also be there. That is, but Krishna is ultimate security. My dear boys, young men and old men alike, old boys, young boys, if you understand in your life that Krishna is next to you, you become free from anxieties and worries. And to understand this, my dear devotees, that is Krishna consciousness. We have one verse, one text. I will request Gaur Krishna to find it. It's in the 10th canto, 13th chapter of the Bhagavatam, verse 58. Some things I can remember. Prabhupada was on his deathbed in Vrindavan when he spoke what I will read to you in a moment. And Vishakha and her husband, Yadubar, wanted to show the world the greatness of Prabhupada by showing the world that to the last breath Prabhupada was translating. So they asked for permission if they could film Srila Prabhupada lying on his on the bed, which he would never leave. And permission was granted after 13 days. And then they recorded this phenomena, how Srila Prabhupada, in perfectly clear consciousness, although he must have experienced great pain, was dictating this purport, of which we will soon be able to read one quotation, which has a lot to do with our point here, that to show people how they are always in the association of God. This is Krishna consciousness. It's not. I must have made a mistake here. So I was proud in saying I can remember texts. It's somewhere here. It says to understand that no one and nothing moves independently from Krishna. That is Krishna consciousness. I think if you type in Krishna consciousness, it's in that 13th chapter, it will show up. I want to read this to you. Because Prabhupada makes repeatedly the point, not just here, but really in the text where he knows he will be filmed, he makes a statement which is just so wonderful and so endearing. It is about understanding how Krishna is always there, ready to protect us, and so on. It says something in the Sanskrit with Kala and Samskriti and so on. Maybe it's 53 then. I see a whole office. I'm asking the question.
It's 10.
10, 13, 53?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yes. Rasa Bihari knows. How could... Let us see. Yes, Kala Svabhava Samskara. Yes. So now listen to this. This is something... Yes. Are you ready?
Yes.
Would you like to have some music? Listen, this is Prabhupada's one of his last purports. One should understand that no one is independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness is Krishna consciousness. No? One should understand that no one is independent, not even you. One should understand that no one is independent, for everything is part and parcel of Krishna and is acting and moving by the supreme desire of Krishna. This understanding, this consciousness is Krishna consciousness. So to tell people this, there's God, there's Krishna. He is there, and he is a good Lord. He is having your interest in mind. You can surrender to him, and he will take care of you. That gives relief to the souls who are so ambitious, so competitive, so full of desires for their own benefit. And this is the message a preacher has. He who removes fear from your mind is the greatest friend. If you do counseling, like our Nanda Gopa yesterday has given such good first class presentation again, and you have someone there, you have to understand, if you can help them by making them understand Krishna is there, he's next to you, he is your good friend, he has your interest in mind, then one can feel relief and relaxation. This is the greatest act of giving, and in fact Bhaktivinoda Thakur is famous for many statements. One of his statements is about this compassionate preaching, and Vinay will show you slide 14 now. It is, he said, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Sri Krishna is very satisfied with persons who show compassion towards others and do not cause them any pain and anxiety. Daya, or compassion, is the foremost quality of the Vaishnavas. Daya is their main dharma. Wow. If you can just bring this point into your understanding, that by showing compassion to others, by preaching, and I will in a moment show you what it means in a context of ISKCON, my dear devotees, then you be the Lord is becoming satisfied with you that you are doing this important work, and he will take care of you. There's a story about a distressed man who came to a sadhu. He said, "Oh, I'm so much in distress. My wife is constantly quarreling with me. And my sons and daughters don't follow me. They think I'm a loser. Recently, I lost my job and my health. I'm full of anxiety and distressed. Please help me, my dear Sadhu Maharaj." And the Sadhu said, "Have you already taken care of someone today?" "Huh?" said the man. "Didn't you understand me? I need to be taken care of. I am distressed. I am unhealthy. I have social problems, family problems. Divorce is before the door. Everything inauspicious. And you are saying to me, if I have done anything good for others today?" "You are a nonsense, Sadhu." And he left this good saintly person. And the person was, the saint was, the sadhu was very unhappy, and he said, I'm sorry I could not make the person understand. By helping others or caring for others, God cares for you. This is the law of nature. By giving, you are getting, not by trying to take. And this is what the Lord tells to Kadama Muni. Yes, you have been a yogi. You have been meditated. Yes, you are concerned about self-realization. I know that. But please understand, by going into the world, showing compassion to others, and giving them assurance, what was it? Giving assurance of safety to all, Krishna is your protector, Krishna is there, nothing works independent of Krishna. You will be the greatest friend. I want to end this class. I want to now come to my last point. Give aid and get 108. What does this mean to give aid? There are eight things. If you can give that to others, you will definitely please Krishna. You must know, don't just start to copy, actually hide the slide, because everyone looks now on the slide and writes it down. Yes, it is no longer there. My dear devotees, give me your attention one more time. Do you know that to preach Krishna consciousness in an organized way is something relatively modern? Before Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, there were not highly organized institutions to give Krishna consciousness. Krishna consciousness was distributed by so-called, I'm using an academic word from Mr. O'Connell, by soft institutions. His Holiness Kadamba Kanan Maharaj was the first one who brought my attention to this. The devotees didn't have GBCs and organized printings and temples and funding of organized funding of temples. Krishna consciousness was spreading mostly through singing the holy name, and the philosophy was encapsulated in the bhajans. Sadhus went around and spoke about the Bhagavatam and gave katha. That was the second point. The devotees sat together and explored Krishna consciousness and discussed the shastras. there was worship, you know, in villages that they collected and made, built a temple and were worshiping, each village on their own. Yes, feasting on Pashadam was always there. That's not something ISKCON has invented. And there was the understanding from the scriptures that one should serve devotees. A very good example of these six things is the Kheturi Gram festival. We will now no longer hide the slide from you. There was the singing of the holy names. There were bhajans. There was katha going on about Krishna's glorification. There were points of theology that needed to be discussed. Did we fall from the spiritual world or not? There were discussions of shastras and exploration. Is bhakti inherent or is it given, and so on. That was necessary. That was done during these get-togethers. There was worshipping. There were deities were installed and worshipped. Janava Ma, the wife of Lord Nityananda, personally cooked, because the feasting on Pashadam is not just important for Pandava Senas, it's for all devotees. And there was the understanding of serving devotees. They all got pavilions and places to rest. These are the things which were done in the tradition of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, and this is how it carried on throughout the centuries. My dear devotees, don't get me wrong. If you can have an organized movement like ISKCON, who takes these principles of spreading Krishna consciousness and organizes it a little bit, not a little bit, organizes it, this will be done much more, so to say. No? A movement can spread, can print books and distribute them en masse. A movement can organize how good preachers travel from temple to temple and meet the congregation and inspire and them, and then the congregation is more alive and so on. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, in his great desire to spread the nectar of Krishna consciousness much more efficient, started to organize all this in an efficient way. This is wonderful. And Prabhupada gave this. I think no one, if he would not have met the organized attempts of ISKCON, where would we be? It's a very good, but I'm just saying, these are principles that you give to other people, these six. And then we add two more and one in brackets. This is what we do for outsiders. When we come together, we sing the holy name, we do Krishna Katha, we explore subtle points of the shastras and discuss them, we worship together, we feast together, we serve devotees. And this is what we do at the moment at the Pandava Sena retreat. But then when you go out, my dear devotees, you should give also the holy name to others, to your neighbors, to your friends, to new people. And you should discuss Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam with them. And of course, you should repeat this one thing, you should give them good prasadam. No? This is there. So, but in the eight principles, I put 6 + 2 there. As far as possible, one should call his friends and neighbors to his house and hold classes in Krishna consciousness. This is for you, no? Holding a class means chanting the holy name of Krishna, acha, and speaking from Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam. This is how you can share Krishna consciousness. This is how you, each one of you can have wonderful sanghas at their homes, bhakti sanghas, or call them what you want. You may not be such an accomplished preacher. You can just find out in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam a passage that you feel is important, that has grabbed your fascination. You can talk about it, but before it you can chant. You may not be the best chanter, you may not be as melodical as Shyamali and Gaur Krishna and Krishna Kirtan. Are you a Kirtan star?
In the shower.
Good. I wish all Kirtaniers would chant also outside their slot. you don't need a slot to chant Hare Krishna. No? Krishna Kirtan is leading us in the shower. You know, everywhere. But somehow we can all sing. You can learn from Gaur Krishna to hold two keys on the harmonium pump, and then you have already this type of you can then sing on this, and that everyone will think you are a kirtan star. You know, some form of kirtan we can do somehow or other. And by sharing this, my dear devotees, by living these six things and serving devotees, you should also do. But this to outsiders, I was thinking, this is what you do when you preach. You can actually make your life successful in whatever ashram you are, wherever you are, and join this compassionate movement and do what Bhaktivinoda Thakur has encouraged us, that to show compassion to all living beings. Further, when you talk with someone, take away the anxieties. The prime factor of living in this world is that we are infested with anxieties. And believe me, this happens. All devotees who are not yet fully Krishna conscious know anxieties in one form or another, you know. And to relieve people from anxieties by showing them Krishna is just there, is next to you, is protecting you, you can help people to broaden their perspective and raise from the small mind to the big mind of Krishna consciousness, to the big understanding of Krishna consciousness, and so that they will be free from anxieties wherever they go and wherever they are, that they will be freed from the whip of ambition that whips them to even want to compete with others in Krishna consciousness. No, is this good to show that? So this was my presentation, and I'm happy to say we have now time for questions and answers, something which we didn't have in the time. I see Krishna Sakha's hand, I see Rasa Bihari's hand, looking towards our Mataji's. Not yet. No, there's one Mataji. I know you as the wife of Syam Gopal, who excels in relaxed sitting style. Syam Gopal, I'm always impressed of your high intelligence and service, but also of your relaxed sitting style. I've never seen that. It is only a little bit is missing, then he is like Lord Vishnu on Anantashesha. So it can be still perfected. There's room for improvement. Some humor is some humor, but no, I don't want to sound this. We are all knowing Syam Gopal, his service, and his intelligence is. Tears of admiration come in our eyes when we think of this. Yes, yes, poo, talented. Good. So there is Krishna's. No, who is first? Rasa Bihari. Krishna Saka.
Thank you, Maharaj. A question on the first slide you gave of if we're selfish, then there's no happiness, but if we develop selflessness, then that's when satisfaction comes. Sometimes we can develop selflessness in order to then become happy, and then it becomes a selfish motive. So we're trying to be selfless, but in a selfish mood. So I wondered how we can actually develop genuine compassion without any ulterior motive.
First of all, and above everything, be real. This is something which we all have to learn. We have to go through the layers of pretense, the layers of falsity, all these things which we have learned in order to go through this time and be real. When it comes to spiritual life, you always have to check your motive. When you sit there and pray, "Oh Lord, make me pure," you have to ask yourself, do I mean this? Or maybe I'm so attached to the things that I don't like to be pure. What will I do when I'm pure? You know, "Oh Lord, take everything away that is harmful in my life." Ask yourself, am I praying? Is the real me praying at the moment? I'm so attached to the things. First and foremost, be real. You must, in bhakti, check your motivation always. And what I do is, I know this, you know. Oh, Prabhu, I'm your humble servant. And I'm miles away from a humble servant in reality. She asked, is the real me speaking now? No? And yeah, about this. And you have to be careful. In bhakti, always pride and selfishness, they return and rise their ugly head. But when you do like this, you're selfishly selfless. First of all, I don't think it will work to be selfishly selfish. You have to say, there's so much more benefit when you really think of the other person. That's called empathy. Nanda Gopal told us, yes. Yesterday, we must have this empathy. But don't worry, Krishna Saka, if there is a little impurity in you. I mean, when we do bhakti, it is understood that we are impure. And yes, that selfish motives creep into everything is understood, and it's not a problem. You are under the shower, everything what doesn't belong there, you know, the ink blots on your hand. Now, nowadays, no one writes with a fountain pen any longer. They all have a keyboard. You know, whatever is dirty, it will go. It is not a problem. Even when you do the selfish, selflessness, it's really a contradiction of terms, but we all know what you mean, yes. This thing is fake it till you make it, works I think only in bhakti, but it works. Prabhupada was once asked, Prabhupada, I'm not humble. How can I act as a humble servant or be a humble servant? Then Prabhupada said, pretend to be. But sometimes those who pretend to be humble, oh, Maharaj, I'm your humble servant, they are such clowns, because you can see he's really struggling, this poor person. But of course, the Maharajas will never say anything to the clowns. Hare Krishna. Sorry, maybe I should mellow down my tone. You know, I will mellow down it a little bit. Prabhu, whoever you are, however, whatever is your status, you may have sinned and yet again sinned and again sinned. Come all to the path of bhakti and try to do good, and eventually, by the Lord's kindness, that wrong motivation will leave you. It will come. Please have faith in this, Krishna Sakha. By just doing things as good as you can, the things which don't belong there are removed by Krishna. Especially if you hear the Bhagavatam. Shrinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam Hridyanta Sto Hyabhadrani Vidunoti Suritsatam. By hearing about Krishna, my dear devotees, Krishna becomes active in your heart and removes all the contaminations from your heart. This happens by the Bhagavatam's potency. You know, when I sit down to chant Krishna Sakha, I always wait a little before I start chanting and say, my dear Lord, you know I'm not good. My dear Lord, I know I'm not good. But I'm now trying to chant your holy names, which is so pure. Please assist me, a poor conditioned soul. And then the Lord will, more and more, he will do the work of the street sweeper. He's the heart sweeper. Hridyanta sto hyabhadrani, all the inauspicious things, he will take away. When you only invite him, Krishna Sakha, you need to invite him. When you read the Bhagavatam, when you chant the holy name, he wants to come. He is our friend, the best friend of all. But we need to invite him. Hare Krishna. Rasa Bihari.
Thank you very much. Classes were excellent. You've also partially answered my question. My main question was around the theme of the trip is around commitment and recommitment. And my question is, by what yardstick do we measure our commitment? How can we tangibly measure our commitment? Because we live in a movement, you know, we hear about the movement of the past where Prabhupada would say, go to China. Yeah. We live in a world where we don't necessarily interact with our Diksha gurus as often, especially if they're about to cheer us on. But also our temple presidents, we don't live in the temple, so we don't necessarily have that strong shiksha relationship with those that would give us instructions anyway. So we don't necessarily get as many instructions, particularly specific ones, as would have been done in the past. So, yeah, how do we know, how do we measure how committed we are?
What a wonderful question from a wonderful questionnaire. Rasa Bihari Prabhu, I will tell you one of the greatest discovery in my spiritual life in the last months. how the question which we all raise, especially in the absence of our spiritual master, is the question, how do I know what Krishna wants of me? In the times when my spiritual master was next to me, he would tell me, do this, do that. But how do I know now what Krishna wants of me? Also, sometimes when we cannot always go to all our spiritual mentors because they are so busy. I think this is one of the subjects which was addressed in the mentorship meeting or in the meeting which Krishna, Sakha and Raj had conducted yesterday. Those who are mentors are sometimes so busy with so many people, we can't always ask. So the question was asked to Prabhupada, how can I know what Krishna wants of me? A very good question, isn't it? I think this question has come up for all devotees at one time or another. And now listen to Prabhupada's answer. You will again need to, if your intelligence is at this moment dormant, not yet switched in, you might have to switch it on, because it's really subtle. Prabhupada talked first about that the super soul is there in the heart and gives inspiration to a sincere soul. He quoted the verse Savasya Charham Ridhi Sannivishto. You know this verse, Krishna is there in the heart and gives, from him comes knowledge and forgetfulness. Knowledge and what is it? Knowledge and remembrance and forgetfulness. Now, you have heard this a million times and it has not answered anything for you, this verse, when you because you couldn't apply it to yourself. And Prabhupada knew that the devotee who questioned him, I think it was Gopa Vrindapala, would not be able to apply this verse to his question, how do I know what Krishna wants? So he made it simple. He said, look in the corner. What do you see in the corner? So it was an empty corner. Nothing was in there. The devotee said, Prabhupada, it's empty. I see nothing. And Prabhupada said, do you know what I see? He didn't say it like this. He said immediately, I see dust in the corner. But now, with your intelligence fully switched on, listen to how he continues. He said, this means Krishna shows me that there is dust in the corner, and I should now clean the dust. Krishna has not shown you, because you have seen an empty corner. Prabhupada implied, Krishna will show you something else. It was not about cleanliness, this thing. It had a total different bent to it. It was, how do we know what Krishna wants of us? How does he speak to us? Well, it's simple. He lets you see certain things. There is one rule for those who want to live in Vrindavan. It is, everything you see because of Thakurji's grace. This is how you live in Vrindavan. Oh yes, Krishna lets me see this. He is behind everything. Nothing is independent of Krishna. Prabhupada talks a little about this consciousness in this very wonderful verse or statement, which you might like to look up. It's in 10th canto. Oh, now it gets dangerous. Don't trust me 100%. 13th chapter, I believe. Go Krishna, what was it? 53, not 58. There you find this amazing quotation that where Prabhupada says everything moves according to Krishna. What do you see, my dear devotees? I could ask it in a different way. Can I add some chili to my question? What do you see? What do you pretend to not see? There are things which we know, which we would be happy if we did not know them. Our life, and therefore we have our suppressing agents, putting them in the corner. Or putting them away, not in the corner. So, there are many things which we see. All of you listen to so many lectures. If you listen to them with your intelligence switched on, you will see many things. During this retreat, I'm sure all of you from the various lectures which and presentations and interactions, you are getting many signs from Krishna. And there will be a few which stand out for you. On these you should concentrate. Perhaps on one is sufficient at a time. Isn't that an amazing answer by Srila Prabhupada? Prabhupada here does what Nanda Gopal also said. Nanda Gopal, I'm in this bad habit of giving names. Nanda Gopal encouraged us as mentors to empower another person. That is what Prabhupada just did in this statement. He said, look and you will see, Krishna will speak to you. He told, yes, a glorious list, by the way. You may ask him, I have gotten this, read through this list this morning, the 8 points which a mentor can apply in his service, and the 8 points a mentee should apply. I was amazed how complete the list is and how thoughtfully presented it. It went rather fast because he had only half an hour and had talked about a few things and so on. So you might ask him to get this list. Krishna Sakha, I'm also encouraging you. It is for your good work. It's a very, very good list. Rasa Bihari, what do you think about this answer? Let us become little alert and also trusting that Krishna is with us. By the way, I want to preach to you, Rasa Bihari, the Lord is always in your heart. You don't need to be worried. No anxiety is required. Lord is there. That is what we are encouraged to do, giving assurance of safety to everyone. No? So this is good. We have 6 more minutes. I want to give part of our Matajis. Our Mataji. Yes, please. Your good name again?
Madhuri Manjari.
Yeah, Madhuri. I remember. Yes, Hare Krishna. Yes.
My question was about this point of by taking care of others, God takes care of you. And my mind immediately makes the excuse, well, Krishna takes care of us according to our surrender and our sincerity. And I know I'm not very surrendered or sincere, so it's impractical for me to follow this principle. So I was wondering if you could maybe shed some light on, is there actually a danger of following this principle immaturely and getting burned out? Or is that just a kind of excuse that we make to not follow the principle?
Mm-hmm. You are very sincere, Vaishnavi. That is not the good. Let me first get something out of the way here. To be a compassionate, committed welfare worker, if you so wish, or preacher, or sharer, or take care of others, does not mean to overextend ourselves. If we do, we will get what is called in the professional world compassion fatigue. We will become just tired and we will not be able to do this. Each one of us has also various capacities. We may not, and we have also many things to do, so we have to see how much, what is the realistic time frame which we can give to taking care of others. It doesn't mean to just, totally ignore these the realities of our life, but it means to, yes, when we all have a lot of, we have more time, and when we are inspired, we have all the time in the world usually. So, when Krishna sees that someone preaches Krishna consciousness or shares Krishna consciousness with others, he is personally pleased with that person, whoever they may be. He says so in the Bhagavad Gita, in the 18th chapter, he says, in this world, no one is dearer to me than the one who shares this with others, this knowledge of the Gita. In the other world, the real world, the spiritual world, the greatest service you can render to Krishna is to bring his devotees to him, especially Radha, the dearest devotee. And it is known that to bring Radharani to Krishna is the greatest service which you do, because she pleases the Lord the most due to her exalted qualities. In this world where we are, to bring souls to Krishna is what is most dear to Krishna. Krishna is very interested in, and he does not, he is a humorous word. There was a humorous word on my tongue, but I could just catch it. Because we speak about the Lord, we should not. He is caring, very caring. He wants to be together. He is not... he wants to share his abundance, the world of his rasa. He wants to share it with all his living beings. So anyone who brings persons to Krishna is just very dear, even though he may be imperfect still. In bhakti, you are accepted with imperfections. It's not like in jnana and karma. In bhakti, you're accepted by the Lord with all your imperfections. The Lord is purifying it. This personal nature of Krishna is there. I saw today Radhika Ranjan with his little girl. Bhagavad Gita, what was her name? Gopi Gita. Gita Govinda, yes. Gita Govinda. I don't know why he was smiling. Maybe he was smiling. Radhika Ranjan carried her. And it doesn't matter if the little girl now makes a fragrance all of a sudden. It just doesn't, the father will oh, the fragrance is there. What do we do now? And we'll have a solution, hopefully, or call his wife, most probably. But the father will accept the girl with all the imperfections, even the fragrance, you know. So in the same way, the Lord accepts us with our mistakes, you know. He's understanding. Believe it or not, the Lord understands humanness, because he is the creator of all of this, and he loves all of us despite us, and so on. But we should turn towards him. We should not ignore him, you know. And we should try our best. And yes, unfortunately, we come with the whole package. We cannot so quickly become free of it. But it's all. It's not. We should try our best. But the Lord will always accept us. Will not a father accept his fragrant child? You know, of course. I didn't want to say smelly, you know. Good. So I hope we can. I hope you understood the thrust of this. The thrust of this presentation, it is in giving. You will get all you want. This was told to the greatest of yogis, to whom God had appeared personally. The Lord gave him this point, made him understand this, and this applies even to us. You know, let us see what we can give and commit ourselves to giving. I thank you very much. Hare Krishna, and we will now have our Harsh.
Can we please have a loud prayer for His Holiness Ashwanda Swami? Thank you so much for the wonderful class. So many amazing points and stories. And so regarding the creative challenge, which I mentioned yesterday, so we've decided that during the conclusion of evening tomorrow, we're going to block out some time for everyone to present their things. A few devotees have approached me and they want to share some things. So you guys have till tomorrow. The conclusion evening is at 11 o'clock. So you have some
evening?
Time. Oh, conclusion day, morning, I guess. Yeah. So you block out some time for devotees to present something in a creative way based off Maharaj's classes and what we've heard on this trip. So
perhaps we can activate Syam Gopal. He could maybe also do a little theater sketch. He's highly talented. Maybe Syam Gopal to add to the vibrancy of the retreat. No, Gopinath is also there. Yes. No, you please something from you, Syam Gopal. Humor or intellectual wit, it's up to you. It's up to you.
Okay, amazing. So I think we're all going to be even more excited now for tomorrow's conclusion morning, now that Shangul Pal is going to be taking part. I did do a short poem for today's class, so I'll go ahead. Thank you, Maharaj, for addressing our dear sisters and brothers. The happiness is found by giving it to others. We want to live a life for Krishna with no room for Maya. Yet sometimes inside us we find a contradicting desire. Take Kadama Muni, who had plans to be detached from this world. How was he to do this if he was to be with a girl? Lord Vishnu reassured him, it's okay for him to take a wife. It doesn't necessarily mean he needs to live a worldly life. You can be in the world and your spiritual life won't die. Engage the results for Krishna and you'll begin to purify. We can preach to the conditioned souls, making fear in them rare, firmly assuring them that Krishna is always there. The devotees are glorious, all burning their karma. By showing compassion to others, their eternal dharma. So many devotees in this room, who work hard to give others a smile, like Keshava Swami, And also that guy with the relaxing style. So let's all live life for others. It will surely be great. Simply give 8 and you'll get 108. Hare Krishna.